Online media is made possible by the members of Nevada Public Radio. Join us at knpr.org.
With gas prices nearing the $4 a gallon mark, and which is just unbelievable to say, Americans are looking for answers as to why prices are so high. A new documentary tries to answer that. The movie Gashole takes a look at the history of oil prices, how prices are set, and the future of alternative fuels. The documentary will be screened tonight at the Brendan Theaters inside the Palms. Co-directors Scott Roberts and Jeremy Wagner will take part in a Q&A with audience members after the film, and the two men join us. And gentlemen, welcome to the program. And Scott Roberts, how did you come up with the idea for this?
Well, actually, I had read a letter to the editor at a Northern California newspaper written by a gentleman who, in the late 40s, remembers meeting a gentleman on an airfield where they used to drag race. And he pulled up in a 1946 Buick Roadmaster, popped the hood, and said, "Hey, check this out. I invented this water-injected carburetor. I can get 100 miles per gallon. Shell Oil bought the patent, made me a millionaire. I can't build anymore." And we cut it out of the paper and thought, you know, there's something here. We didn't know what, but we definitely wanted to look into it.
It's reminiscent of the documentary, What Happened to the Electric Car, and documentaries that we've heard in recent years about what happened to trolleys and bus lines in many major American cities, Jeremy Wagner, with GM and other automakers buying up those lines and putting them out of business.
Absolutely. One of the things that we were most interested in looking at this, I mean, Scott and I, when we started this process, we're both registered Republicans and we're capitalists, and it was just a really interesting story for us. So coming into it, we weren't, you know, we didn't have any other agenda from an activist perspective. So one of the things that we tried to do was to ask questions and find the answers for them. And part of the questions are is, if there's, like, you know, these ideas of buried technology or, you know, conspiracy theories, what are the economic motivations for that? What are the things that have made us from going from one of the top producing countries in oil to the biggest country that's most dependent on it?
Well, I would imagine that the answer to that question and how we went from being the largest producing company a country is through usage.
Usage is a big part of it. The other thing is there's only so much in the ground, and we've pulled out most of the easily recoverable oil in the United States.
And as you know, there's a school of thought that says the same thing has happened in the Middle East, the same thing is happening in Libya, in Russia, in Venezuela, and on that's the peak oil school of theory.
Absolutely. We go in and we discuss a little bit about what the physics of that are and what the reasoning behind the idea that once you've pulled out so much and you have wells that are starting to go dry, you have to find new wells to just keep up the pace and then find more on top of that to increase your production.
Now, the film starts out, Scott Roberts, with several speeches on oil independence given by Presidents Nixon, Ford, Carter, H.W. Bush. The question the film asks is, quote, "We've been told for 30 years something must be done, so why hasn't it?" Now, you say that you're registered Republicans, that you're capitalists, and on the other hand, are you something of a conspiracy theorist now, having done the research on this?
Well, interestingly enough, when this started, I would have been probably the first one to roll my eyes at the stories that we uncovered and said, "Oh, come on, that can't be true." But in the 2.5 years and all the research we've done and the pieces of the puzzle that we put together, it completely opened my eyes now to how I read the newspaper, who's putting out articles, what the bylines are, what subsidiary companies are putting out these articles. And it's just completely changed the way I think. I mean, I started this film, I was driving a big pickup truck, and now I drive a very small, fuel-efficient Honda Civic.
So going into the project, Scott, and I'll ask you, Jeremy, the same question in a moment, what's the biggest misconceptions that you had about oil, automobile industry, and politics in this country?
Well, you know, I always assume that, you know, we could look to Washington, D.C., and they would take care of us, or they would look out for our best interests. And I think that's one of the big shocking moments in the film, and that's the feedback we're getting. Is
You're how old, Scott?
I'm 37. Hey, I you know, I'm an optimist at heart, and I just assumed and I hoped that they would be looking out for our best interests. But when you have a committee that's supposed to be policing the industry for us and making sure that we're taken care of, when the two chairmen on those committees have taken the most money from oil and gas, I mean, it's a complete conflict of interest. And when we looked into that, you know, the saying hidden in plain sight, all of this information we found on C-SPAN, these were hearings that anyone can watch and find out. And some of the things that these politicians are saying are just absurd.
Jeremy Wagner, the biggest misconception you had going into this project.
Well, one of the things that that we've come to realize from this project is this is not a liberal or conservative issue. It's not a Democrat or Republican issue. There's not a Democrat pump and a Republican pump. It's the same pump. It's what it really is it's a question of America's best interest as a citizenship and as consumers versus what's the best interest for these international corporations.
I like my big vehicle. I've got an SUV. I do myself, and I like the mobility that comes with it, but I'm scared by the idea of paying $85 to fill up my SUV. Now, is that message resonating, so far as you can tell, Jeremy Wagner, with policymakers at the national level, the state level, the local level?
Absolutely, it is. You think it is?
Well,
it is with some of them. We were able to talk to, and it was very important to us, to talk to people on both sides of the aisle. And there are people on both sides of the aisle that are really trying to push this forward. One of the things that was helped substantiate some of these ideas about these patents and things was we talked to Sherrod Bullard, who's a Republican who at the time was chairman of the Science Committee. Now, he's a Republican, and he told us that the National Academy of Science had identified 11 different pieces of technology that were currently on the shelf, that if they had been implemented in our current vehicles without getting small vehicles, we could dramatically increase fuel efficiency. So if you have a Republican telling you that there's technology not being used that's on the shelf, that really was a shocking moment for us.
And yet, Scott Roberts, you just look back a decade ago to what happened to the electric car and the idea that General Motors and others took it out of production. There seemed to be legs. There seemed to be a lot of support for it, and it disappeared. Now, I imagine part of the argument could be that the gas was going for about a buck and a half a gallon at that point, so there wasn't the exigency that you've got today.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, once the prices start dropping and you know, you get under a dollar a gallon, people lose their focus on, you know, better fuel economy cars. It's just not at the forefront of the issues. And, you know, that's one of the things that surprise does is a lot of companies now are doing what they're called green branding. So these companies like General Motors are spending millions of dollars promoting their new green vehicles, the new Chevy Tahoe hybrid that, you know, they spend a lot of money in the LA Times saying that it gets 22 miles per gallon, but when you flip the page over and they're marketing their combustion engine, it gets 20. So,
and I'm guilty again because I drive an SUV, but it's like talking about a green mega resort. By its very nature, can you have a green SUV?
Absolutely.
You can make it cleaner, you can make it run more efficiently, but ultimately isn't it the question about the large car versus the small car?
Not at all.
You don't think so?
We looked at a lot of different ideas, and one of the things that we were, another shocking point in the movie we had, we were at a biodiesel station that was open at the time, and you should see our film to see why it's no longer open. But we were at a station in Los Angeles that we had just shown up to interview the guy, and he was selling B99. And we were there, and we saw this guy in a Hummer drive up, and we go, "Oh, this is going to be great, you know, conflict." And that guy started pumping B99 into his Hummer, so he's running his huge Hummer, which is, you know, the anti-green vehicle, on a completely grown alternative fuel.
All right. So very quickly, Jeremy Wagner, many people don't understand that the price of oil and gas is done through the futures market. It's not what's happening today. They're basically making a bet. It's like being in Vegas at the sports book, and you're betting what oil and gas prices are going to be 6 months out, a year out. And that, to a great extent, is what's driving up the price of a barrel of fuel.
There's actually two things. One of that is that betting on what the price is going to be. The other part is how weak the dollar has gone, because that's we're buying them with dollars, and those dollars buy less gas and less oil, then the price goes up. And that's part of why you're also seeing record profits by the oil industry. The oil industry is not buying on that market. They're selling on that market. So if their cost remains basically the same to pump it out of the ground, to ship it to the ocean, to then transport it, and then to sell it to the stations, and that price goes up, they're not paying their employees more. They're not paying their employees 50%, 75%, 100% more.
It's going to the bottom line.
So it goes that profit goes way up.
Scott Roberts, we hear ExxonMobil, it seems, quarter after quarter generating record profits, again, going to the bottom line. And many Americans are wondering, are they reinvesting that money into searching for alternative fuel sources?
Well, let's also not forget, not only are they enjoying record-breaking profits, but they're enjoying record-breaking tax breaks that they've been enjoying for the last few years that people don't seem to realize.
And they want more, Jeremy Wagner, in terms of tax breaks, and they're saying they need it to develop alternative fuel sources.
Well, they're saying that, but then a couple of years ago, this gives you an example of what they're really interested in. They paid Lee Raymond, who was the chairman, $400 million in a retirement package. In the same year, they spent $10 million in all of their alternative fuel research. So that tells you where their priorities are. Now, we just want to let you know that this is our eighth stop. We're here only tonight at 9 o'clock at the Brendan Theater.
Inside the Palms.
Inside the Palms. It's your only chance to see the film in Las Vegas for the next few months. Scott and I are personally taking the film to 43 cities across the nation, and you can follow our tour, see where we've been, see where we're going at gasholemovie.com.
I've got to ask you sincerely, Jeremy Wagner, you're going to 43 cities. How are you traveling? What are you driving in?
Well, we were in Tucson. We rented a flex fuel vehicle and were able to fill up with ethanol there. In a lot of places, we're not renting anything. We're getting volunteers who are bringing us in there.
And are you flying from spot to spot?
Yeah, Southwest Airlines is economically as we can go.
15 seconds, Scott Roberts. You hear concerns about the carbon footprint. Are you concerned about that? Can you just do this by phone rather than travel city to city?
Well, I think it's important that we are travel with the film and are there for Q&A sessions so we can open up a dialogue.
Name of the movie again, Gashole. It's appearing tonight at 9 o'clock at the Palms. And Scott Roberts, Jeremy Wagner are the co-directors. Gentlemen, thanks for your time.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
And thank you for being with us this hour. Our producers are Rich Copeland, Carolyn Kresser, Alicia Barney, and Ian Milchrist. Brian Bayhuth is our guy on the north. Danielle Branton is our web producer. Varun Piplani is our intern. For more information about this program, just click on our website, knpr.org. Just click on our website, knpr.org. Just click on our website.